Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He said there in verse number 13, he said, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about our Savior, and I don't even know what the title of this really. Maybe Jesus, the perfect Savior, or maybe even Hallelujah, what a Savior. But I'm glad he is a Savior. The Bible said David called him a Savior. He said he's my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. A Savior is somebody that saves people. Amen? Mary said in Luke chapter 1, she said, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That shows you that Mary herself needed a Savior. Mary can't save you. She needed a Savior herself. Amen? The angels in Luke chapter 2, they said Jesus Christ, he is the Savior of the world. They said the Savior, Christ the Savior, would be born. And I thank God the woman at the well, she said that he was the Savior of the world in John chapter 4. Thank God for the Savior. When we talk about him, we call him a lot of things, and he's got a lot of titles, a lot of names, and one of the greatest titles he has is being a Savior, is somebody that saves you. Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved today. I don't know a whole lot, but I know that. I do know that. Somebody said, you don't know much, do you? No, I don't, but I know that. Amen. I know I'm saved, brother, and I know who done the saving. I was a terrible sinner, and he's a great Savior. I thank God for that this morning. Hey, can I tell you a little bit about him this morning? I'll give you a little introduction before I even preach. I'll say a few things about our Savior. He had an unfailing love. He had unchanging doctrine, unbelievable lifestyle. He was uncompromising in his ministry. He was unequaled in his character. He was undeniable in his examples. He was unaffected by the world around him. His doctrine was unchanging. His message was unusual. His power was unheard of, and his touch was unforgettable. Thank God I'm starting to feel it myself. He interrupted funerals and brought the dead back to life. He preached sermons that sent the religious people running away. He gave help to the hurt and hope to the lost. Amen. I thank God for the Savior today. He fed multitudes with only a handful of food. He gave himself to people that didn't want him. He walked among common people. He preached to the religious leaders, and he irritated kings. Amen. He created the universe, but he didn't have a place to lay his head. Amen. Everything he ever used in this life, he borrowed it all the way to the grave when he died. He had to borrow a tomb to put him in because he wasn't going to need it for long. Amen. That's our Savior. Thank God for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He had no bed to sleep in, no house to sleep in, but thank God he's the Savior of our soul. He surrendered to death, but death could only hold him temporarily. He had unfaltering love and unfailing grace and unparalleled power. Amen. He's also got some unfinished business. Amen. He is a love that can never be fathomed. He is a life that can never die. In him we have righteousness that can never be tarnished, a peace that can't even be understood, a rest that can never be disturbed, a joy that can never be diminished, a hope that can never be disappointed, a glory that can never be clouded, a light that can never be darkened, a purity that can never be defiled, a wisdom that can never be marred. Oh, well, thank God, hallelujah, resources that can never be exhausted. That's our Savior. He's the perfect Savior. He walked like a man, performed miracles like God, and died like a criminal, and rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. He was betrayed by his friends, hated by his enemies, and executed by his own people. His grace and the truth are inexhaustible. His joy and peace are indescribable. His grace is indispensable. His love is incomprehensible. His sincerity was never questioned. His motives were never selfish. His actions were never foolish. His false accusations were never proven. Thank God that's a perfect Savior. today. He's a life changer, a problem solver, a constant friend. There's not a situation He cannot control. There's not a difficulty He cannot contain. There's not a problem He cannot solve. Amen. We see Him as a preacher and a healer and a revealer and a servant and a friend. But thank God Almighty, I'm glad He's my Savior today.
Amen.
You start talking about Him and it's a subject. It's like a well. You can't never get it all out. The Bible said no sin. He was sinless and perfect. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Moses said, He's a prophet. Come and liken Him to me. Peter said, He's a peace beyond understanding. Paul said, He's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, I want to say He was perfect and sinless and pure. He was righteous. He never did any wrong. And He never faltered. He lived a perfect life. Let me tell you a little bit about a sinless life. He never lied. He never withheld the truth. He never lusted after a woman. He never flirted with a girl. He never experimented with drugs. His lips never touched alcohol. He wasn't a teetotaler. He didn't take a sip at night with his supper. He didn't have to have a drink to get him up and a drink to put him down. He didn't pop any pills. He didn't use syringes. Amen. Brother, I want to tell you, he didn't have a drug dealer. He never looked at porn. He never went to a strip club. He never embezzled money. He never cheated an employer by not working when he was paid. He never cheated an employee out of his wages. He never had a wife that left her for another woman. He never had children and then deserted them. He never had to go to a drug rehab. He never had a hangover. He never went to a drug dealer. He never smoked a cigarette. He never read a dirty magazine. He never gambled. He never went to a casino. He never went to a dance hall. He had never had trouble with his neighbors. He never incited a riot. He never molested a child. He never had a homosexual experience. He never got mad and lost his temper and did something he had to go back and fix. He never cheated on his taxes. He was never caught in a compromising position or an embarrassing situation. That's because He is the perfect Savior today. He never borrowed money and not paid it back. He never saw somebody in need and just walked by and ignored them. He never betrayed his friends, yet they betrayed him. He never had thoughts of murder, stealing, cheating, or lying. He never coveted after somebody else's stuff. He never was somewhere he shouldn't have been with somebody he shouldn't have been with. He never was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He is always the right place, the right time, saying the right thing to the right people. He never was nosing in somebody else's business. Come on, preacher. He never tried to live off the government without working. He never cheated somebody on a business deal. He never had bills and didn't pay them. Amen? He never made a claim he couldn't perform. He never made a promise he couldn't keep. He never preached a word that wasn't necessary. He never saw a sinner he didn't love. He never saw a soul he couldn't save. And he never saw a saint he couldn't keep. Thank God that's my Savior we're talking about this morning. No one has ever said, He let me down. He never failed, never faltered, and He never feared. Words can't explain Him. Death could not maintain Him. The grave could not contain Him. I'm telling you, brother, you can talk about Him all day and never scratch the surface. I want to say this morning, number one, He is the Savior of our soul. I want to tell you the greatest problem you ever had or ever will have, Jesus Christ took care of it when He died on the cross of Calvary. The Bible said He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances when He nailed Him to the cross. Oh, brother, I want you to know something. Hey, brother, the biggest problem you ever had in your life, Jesus Christ took care of it by nailing it to the cross to save your soul. Muhammad couldn't save you because he was a sinner too. He was a pervert. We talked about him a little bit Wednesday night if you missed that Bible study. Buddha can't be a savior. He was a sinner. Charles Russell couldn't save you. Mary Baker Eddy couldn't save you. St. Peter and Mary can't save you. Joseph Smith can't do it. He's an utter failure. Jesus Christ is a Savior. Amen. He's a Savior because of His virgin birth, His virtuous life, His vicarious death, His victorious resurrection, and someday His visible return. That's what makes Him the perfect Savior. There ain't nobody like Him. Hey, that old black preacher preached that message one time, and it was entitled, Ain't Nobody Like Him. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, there ain't nobody like Him. I mean, he's in a field all by himself. You can't compare him to nobody. Hey, if he tried what I tried to compare a light bulb to the sun, you can't compare him. Thank God he's the all-sufficient Savior. He's your dearest friend. He's your companion. He'll go with you to the end. He's a Savior of our soul. Thank God. He said, we do testify. 1 John said, we do testify that the Son, Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He didn't send Him here to perform miracles. He just performed miracles to prove who He was. He didn't come down here to heal people necessarily. That wasn't His mission. His mission wasn't to come down here and make everybody be healthy. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't the deal. What happened was back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell, and they got out of fellowship with God. And so God became flesh and came down here and took upon the sin of the world upon Himself and laid His own self on the altar and died just so that you and I could have eternal life. I heard a story about one time this man fell in the river or something fishing in him, and this other man dove in and saved him, pulled him out. This is a true story. I read this years ago. Several years went by, and that same guy that got pulled out of the river got in some trouble. He got in some trouble, and he went to court, and he stood there before the judge. And they was getting ready to pass sentence on him, and all of a sudden he recognized him. And he said, Your Honor, could I speak? And he said, Yes, sir, go ahead. He said, You remember me? He said, You saved me about 10 years ago. I fell in the river. You remember that? You pulled me out and You saved me. He said, Yeah, I remember me. He said, Can't you cut me a deal? Can't you cut me some slack? We know each other. And he said, Sir, what you don't understand was that day I was your Savior. Today I'm your judge. Amen. He was your Savior back then, and He judged you at Calvary. He paid your sin debt. But what you do with the rest of your life after you get saved, someday you're going to face Him as judge. It ain't going to be a picnic. It ain't going to be a cakewalk. Brother, you better be right with God, and you better serve the Savior.
Amen.
Secondly, I would say someday He'll be the Savior of our body. He was the Savior of our soul, but someday He's going to be the Savior of the body. We read this morning in Sunday school in Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Hey, did you know this whole body? You know when you got saved, what you're having trouble with is your spirit wants to do one thing and your body wants to do something else. Your spirit wants to listen to Amazing Grace and your body wants to hear Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yeah. Oh, no, preacher, that don't apply to me. Oh, bull, don't tell me that. And go talk somewhere else. You'll make me... Hey, everybody's got that flesh pulling at them. We're walking around in it. And it's still fashioned after Adam, and it wants to do that bad stuff. There's part of me that loves the Word of God and wants to preach, and there's other part of them don't want to read it.
Amen.
Ain't that right? There's part of me that loves preaching. I can't get enough of it. But there's a part of them just soon do something else. That's that flesh part. And what I'm saying, one of these days, when we're resurrected at the rapture, brother, the Bible tells us that we'll be raised in His likeness. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and this old corruption will put on incorruption, and the body will be saved. It'll be just like the Spirit. We'll be one whole righteous person, and we won't have these two natures dueling it out and having a war going on in your mind.
Amen.
Now, I know some people lead you to believe that they don't sin, but I ain't met one yet. They're liars, and that makes them sinner. Someday He'll be the Savior of the body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 said, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days our bodies... I know that's hard to comprehend. One of these days our body's going to be saved. How strange is that going to be? It won't hurt. It won't get tired. It won't wear out. It won't want to sin. This body wants to sin, don't it? Wouldn't you rather sit in the rear recliner and watch TV than read your Bible? Honest. Don't sit there and just nod your head. Sure, you would know what that is. That's the Adam part of you. But there's another Adam on the inside that says, turn it off, read your Bible. There's another Adam. There's two of you. You're a good man walking around a bad body. That's your problem. Hey, guess what? I got the same problem too. I fight the same battles you do. Preach, I didn't think preachers had that kind of trouble. Hey, we ain't got wires and circuit boards and batteries. We're flesh and blood like everybody else. But one of these days, He's going to save our body. And our body's going to be just like our spirit. Brother, we're going to be just like Jesus. Whatever He's like, that's what we're going to be like. I mean, Brother Will, in the Bible, if you remember, after He's resurrected, He walked through walls and He'd be one place and then be another. Wherever He wanted to be, that's where He popped up. And the Bible said, well, no, even as we're known. Somebody said, preacher, are we going to know each other in heaven? My answer has been, you ain't going to be dumber up there than you are here.
Amen.
You know each other here, you might know each other up there. The difference is we'll have a glorified body. This one gets tired, don't it? You know, people used to tell me this, and I didn't believe, well, I don't know, just, you know, you're young, you just feel good all the time. I remember feeling good. It's a distant memory. People say, well, you wait till you hit 50. I'm telling you what, my mind started creeping up on me when I was about 45, 46, 47. That wasn't no joke. I wasn't kidding. Now I get cold and it's summertime. or get hot in the winter. Crazy junk like that, man. Be outside and it's 95 degrees and get chills. Whew. Oh, how do you explain that? Something wrong with a man like that, ain't it? Or you wake up, you sleep 10 hours and get up and feel like you've been in a fight with Mike Tyson and can't get up and walk to the bathroom like this and you're shuffling your feet. You know, like old Tim Conway used to do, like that old man. I say, brother, you know what that is? That's this old body's wearing out. But one of these days, you're going to get a brand new one. Bam! At the rapture, at the shout, the trump of God. Listen, brother, he'll be the not only the Savior of our soul, but he's going to be the Savior of our body one day after a while. Number three, he's going to be the Savior of the church at the rapture. I'm glad he's going to save the church, brother. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's proof the Baptists are going first. Hallelujah, we're going up first, the dead in Christ. Baptists are deader than a hammer. Amen, there's anybody dead. We watched this old movie the other night. It was one of them old ones, like back in the 40s or 50s. And these Quakers went to church, and they sat there, the women on that side and the men on that side, and they just sat there. And they didn't do nothing. They didn't sing. They don't believe in music. And they just sat there and looked at the ground. Nobody said anything. After about 10 or 15 minutes, somebody got up and quoted a verse of Scripture and sat down. I told Debbie, I said, my God, Baptists went all the way back. That's the way we are now. They just sat there. They didn't do nothing. Just looked at each other. It was weird. I told Debbie, that reminds you of the Baptist churches now. But one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to save the church out of this world. You say, preacher, what are we coming to? We're coming to something. We're coming to a conclusion. This thing's going to come to a head, and he's going to take us out of here. Well, like one old preacher said, I'm going to leave here like Superman. I'm going to come back like the Lone Ranger. We're going to leave here, brother, with a shout and the trump of God, and 7 years after the tribulation, brother, we're going to come back with him to take over this outfit. He's going to be the Savior of the church at the rapture. I know the church ain't what it should be and it ain't what it ought to be, but he's going to straighten it out when he comes back. That 7 years of tribulation, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ getting their wedding garment ironed out. A woman don't wear a wedding gown to her wedding that's got spots and dirt on it, right? Or it ain't ironed. So that's what that's going to be about, that 7 years. It's going to be about as bad a fair as it is down here. Amen. It ain't going to be no picnic, brother. Number four, I'm going to say he's Savior also. He's going to be the Savior of the Jews during the tribulation. As you know, right now, according to the Bible, the Jews are blinded temporarily. They're blinded. Brother, it's very rare to see a converted Jew or to see a Jewish person that'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're blind to it. They said, the Bible said he came to his own received him not. Pilate said, I wash my hands of this man's blood. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. And God struck them blind, and Paul preached to them, gave them one more chance, and they turned from it. Stephen preached to them, and they turned, said they didn't want it. And Paul said, lo, we turn into the Gentiles. And brother, it's been a Gentile gospel ever since. But one of these days, brother, during the time of Jacob's trouble, God is going to bring his chosen people back. Romans 9:27 said it. Esaias also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. He's going to save his people. I know it may look like those rogue nations over there are going to drop a nuclear weapon on them and vaporize them off the map, but that ain't going to happen. Because God is saving his people. He's going to be the Savior of the Jewish people as a nation. I'm not saying Jews can't get saved. Of course they can be saved. Anybody can be saved. But I'm just saying as a general rule, as a whole, they've rejected Christ and they're cut off and they're blind to the gospel. They don't see it. Number five, I want to say he'll be the Savior of the world during the millennium. 1,000 years are going to go by. And he's going to save the world. Did you know Jesus is going to do what the environmentalists is trying to do? They're trying to save this world. They can't save it. He's going to straighten it out. But you know how he's going to do it? He's going to burn it up. He's going to refine it by fire and start it all over again. Amen? The environmentalists, animal rights activists, they can't save anything or anybody. He'll redeem the world back to a place of sinlessness and peace, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. What Adam lost in the garden, Jesus will restore it in the millennium. He'll save the world from those trying to save the world. He'll save the world from the destruction of Hollywood. He'll save the world from the influence of crooked politics and crooked politicians. I'm saying he is the Savior of our soul. He's the Savior of our body, the Savior of the church, the Savior of the Jews. One day he's going to save this entire world and spare it and straighten it out. If environmentalists could save every endangered species on the planet, they still can't save mankind. Mankind is the one that needs the saving. The birds and the trees and the flowers will take care of themselves. God will take care of them. He'll be the Savior of the world.